Welcome to A Cornucopia of Tales and Tellers. I'm Simona, and this week we've got a very special episode that we've been postponing for quite a while now for various reasons. Because this summer I went to my first storytelling festival. I was in the UK and I went to the Oxford Storytelling Festival, and I wanted to talk to you about my experiences and what I liked about it, what I learned from it. But I'm not the only one you're going to hear the voice and the thoughts of during this episode, because I asked David Heathfield, who was at the festival with me and who actually was the one who invited me to the festival and who performed at the festival, to share his thoughts on some points. And I also asked two people who I met at the Oxford Storytelling Festival. Their names are David and Matt, and they are storytellers and story makers. I really hope that one day we'll get them on the podcast, because I'd really like for everybody to get to know them, because they're just fantastic. But I don't want to spoil too much. I really hope that sometime soon we'll be able to invite them and do an episode with the two of them, so that you can get to know them as I did. But before I begin, I'd like to put in a note about the organization of the podcast, because when I had the idea of doing an episode about the Oxford Storytelling Festival, I thought of some points that I could ask the people to address in their recordings. And David and Matt, they tell stories together, they make up stories together, and it made sense for them to have a conversation about those points. So at the beginning of the podcast, you're going to hear the two of them talking about them in their conversation, and then you're going to hear my ideas and David Heathfield's ideas about the Oxford Storytelling Festival. So, without further ado, Oxford Storytelling Festival, a conversation by Matt and David.
Well, Matt, this was our first time going, and my little mind was blown, I have to admit. All those different storytellers, all those different styles, all those different little places and big places where stories were being told. It was quite astonishing for me.
Yeah. Really good quality of storytellers. Lots going on. Great variety. Beautiful setting.
Water Parry is stunning. And like, there's such a kind of focus on the connection with nature for that site, as well as very much that from the participants. It was a very kind of cohesive, clever, all-in-one place and event, right?
Yeah, I felt looked after. Like, everything was organized and the food was good. Yeah, enjoyed that.
I think my big takeaway was the huge variety of ways of telling a story, because you and I, Matt, have been telling stories in our way, kind of separate from this community and this world and this scene. And so there was people like Dave Rock, who gave this incredibly impassioned, intensely personal, almost sort of revelatory and story, just narrating his own life. And then there were these really polished performers. And we went to see Nick Hennessy on the last night, who was so smooth and impressive and slick, right?
Yeah, very. especially with all the technology. But the overall effect of the story, I really enjoyed. The sound and the storytelling. I'm trying to describe the sound effects that he used, but they were all him creating them with his voice, and then using, what do they call that? Playback looping or something to.
Yeah, sampler anyway, or something.
It was an amazing effect.
And then there was, someone who I just fell in love with was this guy, Tom Hirons, who was so, I found him so open and so friendly in himself. He seemed so comfortable in his own skin. Just he was sort of nattering. But what he was nattering about was the most beautifully constructed, beautifully delivered story for a group of people, I can imagine. It was a real delight just sort of sitting on a hay bale and listening to him tell his tale.
Yeah, that was a great story. I really enjoyed that.
And there were also little one-on-one moments. So I loved meeting this guy called Norman Perrin, who seems to be well-known in the scene. As I say, this is such a first time for me. But he was this just totally charming Canadian. He reminded me, I hope Norman would not mind me saying, reminded me of a gnome with his little cultured beard and his glasses and his hat. And I found him very knowledgeable and fascinating. And we stopped and we just talked about story and stories. And it was such a wonderful meeting.
Nice. Yeah, Norman was a great guy. I think for me, there's no one person who comes to mind, just a collection of people. You know, people I spoke to while standing in the dinner queue or outside of a workshop. And then at the dinner table as well. And storytellers, just short conversations here and there.
There was a warmth, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Like everywhere you went, everyone was open for a chat and happy to take a moment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was lovely. Tracy Chipperman, I really enjoyed. She told a story. I was in the session, I think it was called Witch. I really enjoyed the story. We're actually having this conversation sort of a few weeks after the festival. So I don't remember all the details of the stories. I'm not going to go into them. But it was a great story and I really enjoyed it. And the conversation she created before and after the story as well was very interesting. Who else for me? Jan Blake, I thought she was great. Very polished storyteller. And who else? Oh, Shona Lee. We both really enjoyed Shona Lee.
Yeah, she really brought a kind of cultural perspective to her stories that was really rewarding. And sitting in that... So the classicist in me was annoyed that it was called the amphitheatre, because it's not an amphitheatre. Amphitheatre is double-ended. It's a theatre. It's a classical theatre. But it's a beautiful space with great acoustics. And it felt... I don't know. It was that listening to Shona Lee talk about her stories of kind of the Jewish culture, and it felt right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had our fire pit experience. We had our first live performance, right?
Yeah. So we've been telling stories for ourselves, really, for a while now. And the moment came here for us to tell a story for the first time around the fire pit. And it was very intimate. There were just sort of a few, handful of people there, which is probably a good thing for our first time.
Yeah, and we weren't the first ones to tell our stories. No. I don't remember the names of, Norman told a story. And there were two other women that told stories. And then Simona told a story as well. Which would be this guy being chased by a tiger. It was so funny. Really enjoyed that too.
So yeah, I mean, for me, the Oxfordshire Storytelling Festival was a great discovery of a little world that I didn't truly know existed, and a really lovely collection of people who happened to all be into the thing that I'm really into. So, I mean, I had just a
Shall
fantastic
we put
time.
a name to what we're into? I don't think we mentioned what it is. Improvised storytelling.
Yes.
And we will be there next year, doing our thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't wait. And I already know it's going to feel like coming home when we go, because that's sort of almost where we found ourselves as performers.
So here we are at the second part of the podcast. The first question I asked David to answer was if he had a favorite performance or a favorite workshop he went to. And this was his answer.
One of the favourite workshops I went to was with Ashley Ramsden. It was a Hodja workshop. So Nasreddin Hodja stories were being shared, exchanged. And the exciting thing for me about it was the rediscovery, I suppose, of all the different possible interpretations, but how the interpretations developed and the understanding of the story developed by hearing the multifaceted responses of different people in the group. And there was a very light touch from Ashley about the way he led the workshop. It was very improvised. I thought he must have run it so many times before, but I was so surprised to talk to him later and find out that actually he hadn't run that workshop before, but he was so comfortable with Hodja because he's kind of very knowledgeable about Hodja's story. So it was great. That was a special moment, and I loved the some of the exercises, for example, gazing into the eyes of another participant and saying, "What's it like being me?" It was absolutely fascinating.
I really enjoyed the Nasreddin Hoxha workshop as well. But if I have to choose one performance in the whole storytelling festival, which is very, very difficult because there were just amazing performances by different storytellers and different kinds of storytellers. Well, if I have to choose one, I would choose John Blake's performance on Friday night, the first night of the festival. It was just amazing. And she was there with her drummer. And just the compendium of music and story and words and her ability to keep you mesmerized from the beginning to the end of the story. It was just incredible. And I had seen many videos of her telling stories, but seeing, watching her telling a story, listening to her tell a story there, live, it was just an amazing experience. And if I had to choose a workshop I went to, it was not a storytelling workshop, but it relates to storytelling and also to John Blake, because on Sunday of the festival, the last day, just before the final the ending ceremony, well, I went to a djembe workshop. And I played the djembe with so many other people there. And it was just amazing. I kept smiling and I couldn't stop smiling. And my hand, I remember my hands hurt, but it was just so wonderful to be there and play the djembe all together. And none of us had played the djembe before, which was just amazing. And well, you might have heard me play the djembe before in another episode. Now I'm trying to learn to play the djembe. And so the second question I asked David was if he could tell me something about a favorite moment of his at the festival, or a moment that would stay with him. And this is his answer.
A favorite moment from the festival was early in the morning with you, Simona, and my good old friend Matthew Harrington, standing under the silver birch tree early in the morning, on the morning after the festival was supposed to have finished. You and Matt hadn't been able to join me for the work, for my sensing tree spirits workshop the day before, so we did the workshop together early in the morning of the Monday. That was really beautiful. It felt like we stepped out of time, and the intensity of the weekend had diminished, and we were just being there together. I thought that was a special experience. It was cool, it was slightly damp, there was bird song and stillness, and I felt very connected with you and with the tree and nature.
And what to say, that was one of my favorite moments as well. Just waking up early in the morning when people were leaving or had already left. And there was nobody around, just the three of us and a couple more people. And we went to the garden, and we did the workshop that I couldn't attend the day before. And it was just amazing, so calm and relaxed. Just a wonderful moment. It's not possible to express it in words. So I'm going to talk about something a bit different. Another favorite moment of mine. So actually not a favorite moment, but two of them. Because I'm going to talk about the experience of telling stories at the Oxford Storytelling Festival. I wasn't one of the artists that was invited to the festival, but during the festival there was the chance to tell stories at a story circle, and that was one of my favorite moments because the story circles I went to were in the evenings of the Saturday and Sunday. And the Sunday one was my favorite one because it was just after the ending ceremony, and everybody had gone home or was partying at the silent disco. So, well, just normal people sharing stories there in a circle. It was just amazing. After the professional storytellers listening to people who were not telling stories because it was their job to do so, but because they love telling stories, and just being there relaxed. And I told two stories. I'm really shy when it comes to being in front of people I don't know and speaking and doing something like that when I haven't rehearsed anything. But it was such a relaxed atmosphere that I told two stories and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And then I had another experience of telling a story. And it wasn't at a story circle, but it was at an organized event, a scheduled event in the festival. And because the story collective David was part of should have told stories about nature, But somehow there was a big performance at the amphitheater, and I don't know, it was somehow forgotten. And so at the light of a flashlight, David and a couple more people told stories about nature. And since there were just a few of us listening, it was such a relaxed atmosphere. And David looked at me and asked me, "Would you like to tell a story?" And I was like, "Oh no, I have a story I can tell, but am I really going to do it?" And in the end, I took a deep breath and I did it. And it was an amazing experience. Like, telling a story outside of the classroom just for the pleasure to tell a story. And live, it was at the Oxford Storytelling Festival, where it was the first time for me doing something like that. So it was just incredible. And I'm really looking forward to doing it again. I also asked David about a conversation that he had at the festival, and maybe something insightful or something meaningful for him.
I had a lovely conversation again on the Monday with a friend of the daughter of Peter Hamilton, a man who was very instrumental in me becoming a storyteller, who passed away just a few days before the festival began, literally 2 days before the festival began. Peter Hamilton was hugely influential. And I bumped into a woman while we were packing up, who's a very, very good friend of Joe Hamilton. And we talked about Joe, we talked about Peter, and I told her a story. And it turned out that the story I told her, which involved a fiddler, very close to her heart, because she herself is a fiddler, and her name is Jackie.
Well, from my part, I loved all the small conversations I had at the Oxford Storytelling Festival. And one thing that I'd like to share, it was not really a conversation, it was part of an exercise. It's not what you could define a conversation. We weren't really exchanging any real information. There was not an answer to what the other person was saying. So it's not what you could define as a conversation. But one thing that I vividly remember from the festival was the conversation, if we want to call it like that, with my partner during the Nasruddin Hoxha workshop, because we had to do this exercise where we were in pairs and we looked into each other's eyes. And we had to say some sentences, and one of us said it, and then the other one said it, and so on and so forth, but always looking, gazing into each other's eyes. And at one point, we also had to say to each other what we thought being the other person would be like. So without knowing each other, we had to gaze into the eyes of the other person and tell them, being you is blah blah blah. And it was this exchange really, really struck me, because what my partner Fiona, if I remember correctly, told about me is exactly what I hope people think of me. So it was just incredible to see that she perceived me as something as I wanted to be perceived. And then I remember her eyes and the movements of her eyes and of her face while I was telling her things about her, I imagined about her, and she was telling me things. And it was really, really deep, a deep connection. And something else I asked David to comment about was the contact with nature, because the Oxford Storytelling Festival completely revolved around nature and being in contact with nature. So I asked him what his opinion about that was.
The main learning thing for me at the festival was focusing on connection with nature. That was the theme that the group of storytellers, the collective from the Society of Storytelling, had chosen, breathing the land. And for me to pay attention to the land, to listen to the land, to go to workshops with people like Lisa Schneidau and look at how we can bring nature into our own storytelling, really connect with all aspects of nature in a very sensory way, was my main learning from the weekend.
The setting was just fantastic. And Water Perry House and Gardens, it's just a very nice place. And you can walk in the gardens and look at many different species of plants and trees and flowers. It was wonderful. And then my big contact with nature was just sitting under these huge trees, which I think were redwood. And it was just incredible. And the last thing I asked David to tell me about were final comments about the festival. And here is what he said.
It was a beautiful festival. And wonderful to meet you in person for the first time after these couple of years since we met through online workshops. And that wasn't only true for you, Simona. I met several people like Norman Perrin, who I've got to know very well through the World Storytelling Cafe, and who was also involved like you in the project Around the World in 88 Tales. So meeting people in person that I got to know online was really special.
Well, meeting people was my favorite part as well. Well, of course, I met David and I met Norman. I met Janet Crouch, who I had only met online at the World Storytelling Cafe. And I remember having a really wonderful moment with Janet, because she came to the djembe workshop as well, and we were sitting next to each other, and we were just looking at each other from time to time and laughing. And she would tell me, "Oh, you can do this. I'm old. This is difficult for me." And it was like, "Oh no, Janet, you can do it. Come on, let's do it. Let's play together." And it was really fun and a really wonderful moment, like having this kind of moment with people you only met online, though you feel like they were your friends forever. And it was just amazing. And then, well, making new friends like Matt and David, who you've listened to before, it was just an amazing experience. And also, my final shout out would be to something that was not related to storytelling, but would go to the stalls of local craftsmen. And because I spent an hour probably or two, I don't even remember, time went by so quickly while I was there. I spent some time working greenwood and making a spurtle from a piece of wood. It was just amazing. And so here were our thoughts about the Oxford Storytelling Festival, my first storytelling festival, an amazing experience that I'd like to repeat very soon. And that's all for today. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.